British writer Ian McEwan has a new novel titled The Child in Time. It's set sometime in the future, and it's about the loss of a child and the loss of childhood. McEwan's previous fiction includes an award-winning short story collection, two novels, and the screenplay for the 1983 British film The Plowman's Lunch. Stephen Levine, the main character in The Child in Time, is an author of children's books and the father of a three-year-old daughter. One day, while the two of them are shopping in a supermarket, the child disappears. McEwan told me that he didn't need to experience that kind of loss to imagine it.
I don't think it's difficult for a writer to move out from a general sense of what loss might be to creating a particular drama. And I do have an idea that if you love a child, you test that love by imagining the loss. I certainly do. I think most parents, when they cross the street with their children, inevitably run a little fantasy of, you know, the worst case. Just to, unconsciously they're measuring all the time their own love by doing that.
You have children who are 3 years old and 1 year old?
Mm-hmm. So, and two stepdaughters who are 16 and 17.
So I figure when you started writing this novel, you basically had one baby.
No, my wife was pregnant when I started writing this.
You didn't even have a baby?
No.
My goodness. So here you were, imagining what it was like to be a father. And at the same time you were imagining what it was like to be a father, you were imagining what it was like to lose the baby before you even had it.
That's right. You have to keep moving very fast in this business.
It sounds like a pretty masochistic exercise you put yourself through to write this book.
I don't know. I'd a few years before, written a libretto for an oratorio, which was an anti-nuclear oratorio. And one of the sections of that is taken from an account by a mother who loses a child in the bombing of Hiroshima. A very moving account of how she finally found her child and it died in her arms. And I think that sparked off in me feelings that not only to do with a real child and what it would be like to lose a real child, but also the thought of the child that's within oneself and how inaccessible it is and how one loses it. How we have to make some kind of accommodation with that. We can't have it back. We can't be children again.
Did becoming a father make you think more about that?
Yes, it did. And I also had to think, like most people who become parents for the first time, I had to sort of realign my own relationship with my parents. I'd become a father, and my father was also a father, and I had something in common with him. I'd also ceased to be merely a son. And my main character, Stephen Lewis, is in his long sort of divagations after the loss of his child, is trying to make this balance in time between his own past and his present.
I think children hold their parents responsible for a lot of flaws in the world and in their lives. Did you find yourself becoming more forgiving when you became a parent yourself?
Yes, a lot more tolerant, I think. I think I cared less about myself. I think that was the most useful thing about becoming a father, becoming a parent. Your own life matters a bit less because your child matters more to you. Sure, and I think you begin to take a different attitude towards time, too, because I've already seen my stepdaughters growing up, and they're now more or less young women. You realize that every stage of childhood is going to be It's so impermanent, so transient, and yet at the time it seems so encompassing. If you've got, say, two small babies and your life is broken nights and the general sort of wear and tear of childcare, you realise in a year's time that will all be over. It'll all be some. You'll be in some other stretch, and you won't even remember what's gone before. Hardly remember.
I think more and more men and women are writing about parental love. And the impression I frequently get from the novels and short stories about parental love is that the writers are overwhelmed and actually quite surprised at the depth of their feelings for their children.
Mm. Well, I take a slightly different view. I think that women have always written about children, and I think it hasn't been a subject that male writers have considered worthy. Partly because I don't think the pressure has been on them from the women to take a hand in the childcare. So they've neither discovered the labour of it or its pleasures. And I think the women's movement, this last wave of it in the 60s and the 70s, has made a great difference to that. So too, I think, has the fact that many women go out to work, and it just doesn't make sense for one person to do all the childcare. And I think that male writers have begun to discover an extension to their emotional range as a possibility in what can be described, what can be understood in the world, in the fact of being fathers, parents themselves. It always seemed to me, in the early days of having children, what a fantastically well-kept secret it was. It was such hard work, so difficult, and so absorbing.
The main character in your novel is on a government committee that's writing a childcare handbook, which you quote from at the beginning of each chapter. Did you go back and read a lot of childcare manuals from different periods to see what advice they offered?
No, I'm hopeless at research, actually. There's a marvelous survey of childcare handbooks by an English writer called Christina Hardimond, and really I rested on her research, and she does a rapid overview of three centuries of childcare. So I had a sense through her of it changing quite dramatically from generation to generation, and providing for each generation quite an interesting slice, really, of their worldview. Childcare books are very good guides, very good pointers to the spirit of an age.
You think that childcare manuals reveal the social values of the time that they were written in?
Oh, perfectly, yes. Because in them you have the aspirations, or the fantasized aspirations of the writer through the parent to the kind of child that society thinks it wants. So, I mean, at the end of the 18th century, there were childcare handbooks that really were quite libertarian, drawing from the ideas of Rousseau. And within a generation or two generations, they'd been replaced by quite strong disciplinarian Victorian values, and that in turn replaced by Edwardian sentimental values of childcare. So you can see an age quite nicely, I think, quite precisely in a childcare handbook.
Let me read an example of the childcare manual that's written during the course of your novel. One passage is, "The more intimately a father is involved in the day-to-day care of a small child, the less effective he becomes as a figure of authority." What made you think about that?
Well, it's more or less the precise opposite of what I believe. And yet, I had a rather chilling experience last night here in New York at a dinner table with a handful of English friends. Two or three of them actually heartily concurred in that idea that keeping your distance as a father gave you a bit of sort of heft around the house, and that was a jolly good thing. So it was an ambivalent experience. I felt rather chilled, but at the same time rather gratified that I'd tapped perhaps the spirit of the times.
One of your sons is now the same age as the daughter who is kidnapped in the novel. Do you feel like you've become unnecessarily paranoid because of the scenario you created for your book?
Possibly. I mean, I think when you do these things, when you write these things, you could be doing one of two things. You could either be laying a ghost, you know, by occupying a version of the future. You preempt it, you exclude it. You've already written it, therefore it can't happen, on the basis that nothing ever turns out the way you think. On the other hand, you could be arousing this ghost. You could be awaking the demon. You could be tempting your own fate. So who knows? I mean, of course I pray to God it wouldn't happen to me.
Well, I want to thank you very much for talking with us about your writing.
Thank you.
Ian McEwan's new novel, The Child in Time, is published by Houghton Mifflin. He spoke to us from the NPR Bureau in New York.